All right, praise the Lord on this Wednesday night, House of God, Landmark Baptist Church. We got a treat in for you tonight. Usually me and Brother Ed, we struggle through trying to sing a hymn out of the hymn book. And we've got Brother Patrick here tonight, and he's going to help us out. He's going to sing for us tonight.
Amen.
And I believe it'll be a blessing. We'll get Brother Patrick come on up here and sing for us, and then we'll have our lesson. Bless him, Lord.
And I do not own the rights to this song.
I don't think nobody's got the rights to nothing. There's a bunch of things they do. Amen.
This is Kate. She's a real Weight Watchers member. Kate knows for weight loss that lasts, you need a
weight loss.
Think to pray where you left your house this morning? Oh, wow. Did you think to pray? And sometimes, you know, we're in such a hurry that we do forget to pray.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus said He would that all men everywhere might pray and faint not, Luke 18, verse 1.
Yeah.
And even this morning, I have to admit, I struggled to pray. There was a man, I was trying to remember his name, and I remembered it after I got done praying, a preacher friend of mine. And you know, even struggling to pray, it's better not praying at all.
Amen.
And I thank God for the privilege of prayer, that we can boldly come to the throne of grace, make our petitions known, find help, time of need. But I got a big long list of people I pray for.
Yes.
And I sure did stumble on a name this morning. Right behind Brother David Epps is Brother, forgot his name again, and his cousin, missionary to Jamaica, and then the Stewarts, missionaries to Africa. But I think it's Sonny Anyway, I have them moments where I forget. But I tell you what, I sure don't want to forget the prayer.
He knows struggle. Yeah.
I say, Lord, you know I'm trying to name.
Right.
Amen, Brother Ed.
Yes.
I like to brag on the food and the service of our homecoming last Sunday.
Amen.
I don't know how it could have been any better.
Mm-mm.
And I thought about, boy, what a blessing. I sure don't want to take that for granted. What a blessing God bestowed upon the singing,
yes,
on the preaching,
oh,
on the fellowship and the food. Brother Mark done such a good job preaching.
Yes,
I would encourage everyone to visit that singing and that preaching. And you done missed out on the food, but boy, it's good. Hallelujah, good. And I meant a lot about heaven. Everything about heaven's good. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. But we were thankful for that homecoming service. We're thankful to have the place filled. I don't know how many people we had here, but it looked like it's pretty full.
Carolyn said 77.
Woo! Me and Brother Ed, we know how to fill a church, amen. So all we got to do is get word out there. We're going to have food.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
There was 18 up there at the grave site when I took that picture up. I didn't know if I was going to get them all in there. All them little kids.
Hallelujah.
Bless you.
And you know what? That's the way it ought to be. The house ought to be full.
Yeah.
The singing ought to be exceptional, which it was. And the preaching ought to be exceptional, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the fellowship and the food was exceptional. I just praise God for that.
Yeah.
One of these days we'll have our last homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go to our eternal homecoming, and then that will end. Man, I'm telling you what.
That's right.
What a time we'll have. Amen.
That's right.
Okay, Job chapter 19.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to reread the last verse of Job chapter 18. And it corresponds with what Brother Mark preached on last Sunday morning. And Job says, I guess this is Bildad's second discourse. Bildad says, surely such are the dwellings of the wicked. And this is the place of him that knoweth not God. And you know what? I knew of God for 34 years, but I didn't know God.
Right.
And I know Him now, and He knows me now. My name's in the book, my sin's on the blood. The Bible said in, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, talks about the foundation of God standing sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And He knows me. I belong to Him. I'm not my own no more.
Right.
Been bought with a price. Wasn't worth it, but He gave it anyway. But don't go to this place of him that knoweth not God. Boy, that verse just, that's a terrible warning.
Yeah.
Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God.
Mm.
Father, bless our lesson tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for that good singing. Brother Patrick just sung, Lord, sweet hour of prayer.
Yeah.
Oh my, thank you, Lord, for prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for mercies that are new every morning. Thank you, Father, Lord, for, Lord, your compassions that fail not. Thank you for that nail-scarred hand that still reaches out. Lord, this world is, it's not engaged. It's disconnected, Father. Just looked at a gospel track about a little girl. Says something missing. And there is something missing.
Yeah.
And Lord, you're the only one that can supply it. And it's drawn out of Emmanuel's veins, that precious blood that Peter said we was redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. Oh, bless our efforts, Lord, tonight. We'll thank you and praise you. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Job chapter 19, Verse 1, then Job answered. You know what? I always want to have an answer, amen.
That's right.
Man, I'll tell you right now, the Bible said a wise man studies the answer. Mm-hmm. Peter said we ought to always be ready to give a man an answer of the hope that lieth in us. Then Job answered and said, how long will you vex my soul? These were miserable comforters to Job in his suffering, in his tribulation. How long, he says, will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? They weren't much comfort to him, Brother Ed. You know, I have to admit, I'd hate to go through what Job went through.
Oh my.
I for sure wouldn't want to go what Job was going through and have friends like these that were that were vexing him and breaking him. He said, these 10 times have ye reproached me. You are not ashamed. You know, I think America has lost the ability to be ashamed. In the book of Jeremiah, God even mentioned they weren't even able to be ashamed about what they did.
Right.
They just got so used to sin, it just don't bother them no more. You know, when I was a little boy, I remember my ears getting red. Here's something, you know, that wasn't supposed to be said. Your ears would get red and your face would get red. Boy, we're past feeling.
Oh my goodness.
We really have. We've lost the ability to show that some things are wrong. We're getting used to the dark, I think. But Job here says, you're not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me. See, these were his friends. They had come to comfort him. He said he doesn't even recognize them. He don't recognize not only them. He don't recognize the efforts they're putting forth. He said, be it indeed that I have erred. Job said, I may have made a mistake. If it be, he says, and let me see if I can read this right. And be it indeed that I have erred, mine error remaineth with myself. He said, let me deal with it. Mm-hmm. If I have made a mistake, he said, I'll make it right. Don't run in the ground. He said, if indeed you will magnify yourselves against me and plead against me my reproach, know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. You know, God did give the devil permission. He did tell the devil that Job was in his hand. So that's kind of a half-truth right here. But God knew Job was up to the task. And the Bible says he won't put no temptation upon us except that which we're able to bear.
Right.
And I have to admit, I believe when we get to heaven, we'll realize we just had a small cross.
Amen.
There'll be some people up there with some marks on them, and we'll be ashamed to say anything other than thank God for grace.
Yeah.
But you know, I've noticed the lightest affliction seems like any more. We fail. And we're supposed to be tried like gold. We're supposed to be tested. Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing. You know, it's just really something every Christian has to go through. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. He said, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, he said, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. You know, I'm just saying, we're not in heaven. We're down here. Devil down here, he's mad.
Yeah.
Jesus told Peter, Satan desired to have him.
Yeah.
He may sift him as wheat. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. God, I can't even talk tonight. I'll tell you, this old man is getting old, and that ain't all there is to it, buddy. But he said, Job here says that God has overthrown him, and that is true. And you know, if God has overthrown someone, and it does happen.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, we instead of being strong in the Lord by His might, we just wilt. And we wander away. But the Bible says here in Galatians chapter 6, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore Goosley." Steve Goosley, I believe is that guy's name. Just come to me. But Brother Goosley, anyway. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual." Now listen, if you're not up to the task, don't take this on.
Uh-uh.
But if you've got compassion, if you can truly reach out to someone to help them, by all means get involved.
Yeah.
Now if you're going to be like Job's friends, and you're going to make the matter worse than what it is,
stay away.
Yeah, don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul tells the church in Galatia, if a man be overtaken in a fault, I don't know about y'all, but I have plenty of faults.
Oh,
I fail all the time.
Yeah.
I find myself all the time asking God to forgive me, wash me, clean me, get me back going again.
Yeah.
He says, "Ye which are spiritual," if you've got the Spirit of Christ in you, then you know that you're not supposed to break a bruised reed, you're not supposed to quench smoking flax. He said, "Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now this next verse tells you how to do that. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." In other words, say, we'll get through this. It'll be all right. I'm here for you. And another good verse to go along with what we're talking about tonight's in Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll just start in verse 30 and finish out the chapter. "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." I got on my wife a little bit this morning. She was up last night about 3 o'clock because I got up to go to the bathroom. She was over there playing them games on the computer. And Sunday I got on her a little bit. I said, "What was y'all's service about this morning?" I don't know. I said, "What's it about tonight?" "I don't know." I said, "Is it not important no more?" Just trying to trying to stir. Peter said, "I think it meant, brethren, while I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by way of remembrance." Just trying to bring her mind to what it used to be.
Yeah.
But Paul says here to the church at Ephesus, verse 30, he said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." There's a right way to do it. Let love be your motivation, not spite, not flesh, not envy.
Right.
"Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Now when I said I spoke to my wife, I spoke to her as a husband, that you know that she needed to be, or at least on the Lord's Day, catering to the things of God more than the game she plays on her smartphone. I don't know. I read here Paul talked about the house of Stephanus said they've addicted themselves to the ministry. I think she's got the wrong addiction. But anyway, I'll get back to Job here. He said, "Know that God have overthrown me. He have compassed me with His net." You know, everybody don't have it made. I prayed for Sister Joanne this morning.
Yes.
She's got a tough path. Just trying to lift her up. I sent her a card, tried to pray for her. I'm not a doctor, but I am her brother. And it ain't no fun, boy, when things ain't going good. Ain't no fun when you're hurting.
No.
It ain't no fun, you know, when things ain't going right. And God, help us not to make it worse. Help us to have a kind word. Help us to be of the mind of restoration, of the mind of compassion and help. Job here is asking for help. And he says, know now that God have overthrown me. And that's not a complete false statement. It's a half-truth. And have compassed me with his net. Even though God allowed this, he knew Job was up to the task.
That's right.
He said, behold, I cry out of wrong, but I'm not hurt. Sometimes it does seem like God's miles away. Yeah. He said, I cry aloud, Brother Ed, but there is no judgment. Brother Mark mentioned something last Sunday. I never forgot it. He talked about a young boy went by him. He said, I noticed he wasn't paying no attention. He said, I knew right up the road up there was going to run into a T.
Yeah.
And he said that boy went through that intersection, I think hit the bank. And the boy was pinned in the truck by the steering wheel. Said a state trooper showed up. And they tried to get the boy out. Couldn't get him out. The state trooper, I think, said, I've got a crowbar in the car. I'll go get it. While they were going to get that crowbar, that truck burst into flames. And they went back, couldn't get this boy, couldn't even get close to the truck. And the boy was crying out for the state trooper to shoot him.
Mm-hmm,
and you know, when you got a situation that bad, I'd hate to have been there. But when you got a, Cletus, I believe he said, was right. The one that was there.
Right.
But when you got a situation that bad, I don't know what I would have did. I really don't. I've thought about that ever since he mentioned that, how terrible that is to hear a boy screaming, being burned to death, and how helpless you would be in a moment like that. That's kind of like what Job is right here. He said, I cry out of wrong, but I'm not heard. I cry aloud, but there's no judgment. That boy would have shot himself if the state trooper had given him his gun, or if the state trooper had shot him. He would have been okay with it.
Cletus said when that boy quit screaming, that state police and him
wept.
Sat down in the middle of the road and cried like babies.
Now you talking about feeling helpless in a situation like that.
Yes.
You realize just how helpless you are. Job here is in a dilemma kind of like that. He thinks nobody's a hearing.
Right.
He said, he hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my path. You know, sometimes God does put us in situations like this just to see if we'll ask for help. He has stripped me of my glory. And Job was the richest man of the East. I mentioned that last lesson in chapter 1 there. And all his glory is gone now. All of his children's gone now. His wife has reproached him and said, won't you curse God and die?
Yeah.
He said, he stripped me of my glory. He ain't having a good time now, Brother Ed.
No.
Taking the crown from my head. Job, pretty low right here. Says, he hath destroyed me on every side. Job looks around. It looks pretty bad any direction he looks in.
Yeah.
He said, and I'm gone. I mean, there just ain't nothing left of old Job here. And mine hope, he hath removed like a tree. He hath also kindled his wrath against me, and counted me unto him as one of his enemies. And Job, he just said a half-truth right there. Peter said, our adversary, the devil, he is an enemy.
Yeah.
He said he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. And it's the devil that's bringing all this upon Job, but God's also allowing it. And the reason he's allowing it is because Job is up to the task. And the devil gets two black eyes, about three teeth broke out, I think. He said his troops come together, verse 12, and raise up their way against me and encamp round about my tabernacle. Job said, I just don't see no help. I just don't see no hope. Now let's understand, Job here, he's in over his head in pain and problems and tribulations and troubles. And you know, there ain't no way to explain his situation. He's saying a lot of things here that are not only true, But he won't never know until the end of this thing while all of this happened to him. He said, He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are verily estranged from me. Even his own family, they're not trying to help him. They disowned him, man. He said, my kinfolk have failed. My familiar friends have forsaken me. Job is high and dry here. And I'll just tell you tonight, I'm not up to this task. And I hope you don't think you are neither. But God allowed this to be written. And in just a minute here, verse 22, Job requested, oh, that my words were now written. God granted that request. We're reading about it tonight.
Yeah.
And in this pitiful analogy here of Job, he's actually not been forsaken. There's one right there, not far away, making sure that the devil don't do more than Job can bear.
Right.
He said, they that dwell in mine house and my maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. He's lost his standing, Brother Ed. And it's cold where he's at.
Yeah.
All his comfort's gone.
That's right.
He said, I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. Now back then, I guess y'all noticed that Don Lemon, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Got put in his place about slaves.
Yeah.
About how the black people sold their own people into slavery for the money. And it happened way before 1619. I'm not trying to rub anything in anybody's face. I just want you to know, even Job had slaves. I called my servant, and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. He's just not getting any help at all. My breath is strange to my wife. She's not close neither. But I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despised me. What's bad when a child won't have nothing to do with children? I'm telling you now, little children, they just love everybody. I never seen so much love as what's in one little child. I mean, they don't care.
No.
They'll eat right there with the dog. They'll lick the dog.
No.
Children, Job says that, yea, young children despise me. He said, I arose and they spake against me. And that's pretty hard there. All my inward friends abhorred me. He's on his own here. They whom I loved are turned against me. Now, you want trouble. You better hope you don't get this kind of trouble that Job's in right now. This kind of trouble that he's in. It just don't make no sense that anybody would go through what he went through. But God knew that Job was up to the task. He describes his situation starting in verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
My bone cleaveth to my skin. He's just skin and bones. And to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. He's just barely living.
Yeah.
Now he asks for pity here in verse 21. Have pity upon me. Have pity upon me. O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. You know, Jesus, right after Psalms chapter 69, Jesus in Psalms chapter 69, Jesus said in verse 20, I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none.
Yeah.
Job's kind of like where Jesus was on the cross.
Right.
He mentions in verse 26, I'm in Psalm 69. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten. That's pretty much true with Job.
Yeah.
Verse 4 of Psalm 69. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. I mean, everybody has forsaken Job.
Mm-hmm.
He said, verse 12 of Psalm 69. They that sit in the gate speak against me. I was the song of the drunkards. Verse 16 and 17 of Psalm 69. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. What Jesus said from the cross, Joel's pretty much saying here.
Yeah.
And he says, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God have touched me. Why do you persecute me as God and are not satisfied with my flesh? Joel said, I've had enough. I don't need any more. I just want someone to say, Job, I'm praying for you. Job, I just want you to know I'm here for you, buddy. He's not getting any comfort at all. He's forsaken. And he says, oh, that my words were now written, that they were printed in the book. Well, Job, God granted that. Here I'm reading tonight your words, buddy. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. Somebody said, where'd the word of God come from? Well, we got it right here. Job asked for it to be written.
Yeah.
Peter said, holy men of God spake.
Yeah.
As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's what we're doing here tonight. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Job, by the Holy Ghost, said, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. God said, done. That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. You know, some men trying to dispute the Bible.
Yeah.
The more they dig out there, the more wrong they are. They find...
And the Bible there talks about the rock speaking.
Yeah.
Remember, I can't think of that guy's name now. I was here 2 weeks ago. He's talking about that written up on that.
Oh, yeah.
You know
what? All them tablets.
Yeah. You know, that's made of rock. And when that
talking
sun,
about Moses.
Yeah. When that sun hits that
top. Oh, you're talking about Brother Lee Watts.
Yeah.
Up on top of the...
Yeah.
You know, well, somebody must listen after they went there and poured red paint on the Washington Monument. Just because they had praise God on top, they said it's going to take forever to get all the red paint off. Wow. But hallelujah, I'm glad they can't reach the top.
That's right.
Yeah, it says praise God on the top
of the Washington Monument. And the Bible speaks of rocks speaking.
Yeah.
And yeah.
They said also with regards to what Brother Ed said, they said back when Moses was alive, nobody had done no writing. They found a tablet and it had words from Moses, it had words from Egypt, it had words to, you know, somewhere, Samaria, somewhere.
Yeah.
All different, four of them on one tablet.
Wow.
Where they had communication back then. But Job here says, oh, that my words were engraven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. God did establish this word forever. I believe it's in Psalms 119. Thou hast commanded a thy word to 1,000 generations. Oh, he said he settled his word in the heavens forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they are forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall endure forever. Forever we got this word.
Mm-hmm.
He gets on a positive note right here, Brother Ed. You know, no matter how bad it gets, you need to do what Job did right here.
Yeah.
Get on a positive note. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold. Boy, I bet the devil run plumb out of his shoes right there.
Yeah.
And not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But ye should say, why persecute we him? Seeing the root of the matter is found in me. They find fault with Job. And they persecuting Job. And you know, he's about had his fill of it. He said, verse 29, be afraid of the sword. The sword is judgment. For wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that you may know there is a judgment. And you know, we say words sometimes not realizing that sometimes they're going to come back. My pastor preached a message, every idle word that men speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. I think it's in Matthew chapter 18. Mm-hmm. But that was the message he preached today. An old drunk named Eddie Wade got saved. I had a filthy mouth and a filthy mind. And that word, boy, it got me. It did. I was guilty. And I was afraid of the sword. I knew the punishment was going to come. And I knew there was going to be a judgment. And I wanted, boy, I wanted to make it right. And I did get it right. Hallelujah. Hey. I ain't had none of that since. I mean, buddy, balanced the books this year.
Yes.
I've been saved 34 years. I was 34 years old when I got saved. I'm on the high side now. I went beyond April 27th. Here we are. In September, I think. Today's the 21st, I think.
Yeah.
Verse 20 of chapter 20 of Job, verse 1. Then answered Zophar, oh my, the Moabite, and said, therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer. You know, he's kind of using this for excuse to speak. He said, therefore do my thoughts cause me to answer, for this I make haste. He's in a hurry to speak. Have y'all ever watched these news commentaries? They're trying to get a word in while somebody's still talking.
Yeah.
They can't wait for them to get done. They're trying to... Well, that's where... Oh, Zophar's at here. He said, I've heard the check of my reproach, and the spirit of my understanding causeth me to answer. He's just about to explode here. He said, knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth? This man knows it all. That the triumphing of the wicked is sure, that is true, and the joy of the hypocrite is for a moment. Both of them statements are true. They're just not true concerning Job. He said, verse 6, though his excellency mount up to the heavens and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? Now, what Zophar is saying here is true. It's just not true concerning Job. He says, verse 8, he shall fly away as a dream and shall not be found. Yea, he shall be chased away as a vision of the night. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 1 says, he that been often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Zophar is not wrong. He's just wrong concerning Job here. He's making accusations about Job that aren't true. He said, the eye also which saw him shall see him no more, neither shall his place any more behold him. Boy, you know, that ought to really comfort Job, all these all of these charges, all of these condemnations he's putting upon him. He said, his children shall seek to please the poor, and his hands shall restore their goods. His bones are full of the sin of his youth, which shall lie down with him in the dust. Though wickedness shall be sweet in his mouth, though he hide it under his tongue, though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth, yet his meat in his bowels is turned. It is gall. It is the gall of ass within him. He's making statements that are true. They're just not true concerning Job. The Bible talks about that Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And sin is a short season. And Zophar here, he's accusing Job of being a sinner. He said his bones are full of the sin of his youth. And you know, there's only one thing to do with sin. I don't know about y'all. First thing I do, I get up in the morning. I say, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I want you to wash me. I want you to cleanse me. I want you to bless me. Help me be a blessing. Help me walk before you in the beauty of holiness. Deliver me today from evil and temptation. Oh, you run out the door, and like Brother Patrick sung tonight, you forgot about sweet hour prayer.
Yeah.
Though wickedness be sweet in his mouth, and you know, there is pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. Though he hide it under his tongue, though he spare it and forsake it not, but keep it still within his mouth, yet his meat in his bowels is turned. It is the gall of ass within him. You know, I think he's kind of describing things like cancer and, you know, problems health-wise here. You know, Peter gave us pretty good advice about seeing good days, he said, just keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. He said, he that see good days, let him refrain his tongue. He said here, 1 Peter chapter 3, he said, for he that, verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil,
yeah,
and his lips that it speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And you know, he's kind of accusing Job of just being an old sinner is what he's doing. He said, he has swallowed down riches, and he shall vomit them up again. God shall cast them out of his belly. He shall suck the poison of ass, and the viper's tongue shall slay him. He shall not see the rivers, the floods, the brooks of honey and butter. That which he labored for shall he restore, and shall not swallow it down. According to his substance shall his restitution be, and he shall not rejoice therein. He's making terrible accusations against Job.
Yes.
Because he hath oppressed, Job hadn't oppressed no one, and has forsaken the poor. Job clothed the naked. He fed the poor. Because he hath violently taken away a house which he buildeth not. Job did none of those things. Surely he shall not feel quietness in his belly. He shall not save of that which he desired. There shall none of his meat be left. Therefore shall no man look for his goods. In the fullness of his sufficiency, he shall be in straits. Every hand of the wicked shall come upon him. Like I said, these are very stout accusations. They're not true, but Zophar is saying them, that they are true. You know, people can make accusations about you.
Yeah.
As long as they're not true, don't worry about it.
That's right.
When they are true, you need to do something about it.
That's exactly right.
But verse 23, when he's about to fill his belly, God shall cast the fury of his wrath upon him and shall rain it upon him while he's eating. You know,
see, now he's staying there that he knows what God's going to do.
Yeah.
That's not evil.
Yeah,
he's
judging Job.
Yeah, he's judging.
I'm glad God told Job to pray for his friends.
Yeah.
He's in trouble.
That's right.
But he's bringing, these are true statements. They're just not true concerning Job.
That's right.
Judgment will come. And God, he's ready to judge the quick and the dead even right now. And I think about this monkeypox going around. I'm thinking about that being judgment, AIDS. And some of this stuff, you know, that we're trying to put our head in the sand, act like it ain't there. You know, I see a lot of judgment even today. And he says, he shall flee from the iron weapon, and the bow of steel shall strike him through. You can't outrun judgment. And really, Zophar, he's not wrong in what he's saying. He's just wrong about it pertaining to Job. Job's done nothing to deserve what he's going through. Only reason this makes any sense is because God allowed it. And let me say at this time also, be careful about judging people. Some people may be able to take the trials and the testing, even though you've not been tried or tested. Don't look at people in their trouble. Just say, Lord, help them. Pray for them. If you don't know, if you don't understand, just pray for them. Don't make accusations like Zophar's doing here.
That's right.
He said, this bow of, this iron weapon, this bow of steel, you know, a lot of people have been brought down by God. Pharaoh was one. God brought him down. Goliath was one. I mean, only one that could bring Goliath down was God. David said, you know, the Lord. He said, I come against you in the name of the Lord. God really didn't need David. He just used David. God's one took that rock, put it right between the eyes of Goliath. And God's one that took Pharaoh from the throne, drowned him in the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And, you know, God's able to take anybody down. I'll just tell you, it'd be a good idea not to be too high-minded. Stay meek and lowly in heart. Stay humble. Stay honest. I really would like to be a blessing. I grieved the heart of God for 34 years. What days I got left, Brother Ed, I'm trying my best to be a blessing.
Yes, that's right.
I can't undo what I did, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can start doing different than I did. And the Lord's been helping me a little. He's the potter, I'm the clay. But He said, it's strong. Let me say to everybody out there listening tonight and those that are here, David got in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
And he said, just let me fall into the hands of the Lord. His mercies are great.
Yeah.
When you get in trouble with God, just say, I'm sorry.
That's right.
I messed up again.
Yes, I did.
Don't run from God. Run to Him. Right. I'm sorry.
Right.
I made a mistake. I've done something I shouldn't have done. I'm sorry.
Yep.
He says, it's grown and cometh out of the body. Yea, the glittering sword cometh out of his gall. Tears are upon him. All darkness shall be hid in his secret places. A fire not blown shall consume him. It shall go ill with him that's left in his tabernacle. Like I said, all these things that Zophar is saying, they are true. They're just not true concerning Job.
Right.
The heaven shall reveal his iniquity. You know, it'd be bad enough to suffer the judgment of God, but it's going to be even worse when you stand before the great white throne judgment and you have to give an account.
Uh-huh.
And there you stand naked, and God tells you everything that you did, and ain't no way to get out of it. And I'm glad mine's on the blood. Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad when they open up my book, it says just blank pages have all been blotted out. Hey! Blood of His Son cleansed us from all sin. God blotted out my transgressions. Hey! He removed them as far as the east is from the west. Never remember no more against me. I pleaded guilty because I was. I got mercy because I asked for it.
Amen.
There'll be no revealing when I get to heaven. He'll say, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Amen. The heaven shall reveal his iniquity. Achan, they wasn't supposed to take anything when he went down to Ai. And Achan, as they went into Ai, he looked over and there was a Babylonian garment. There was a wedge of gold and some pieces of silver.
Yeah.
And he got it and hid it. Yeah. Done a good job.
Yeah.
And, they went up against a little old place, a little Ai. It wasn't big as nothing. That may have been, I'll take it back, that was a... which one was the walls fell down there? Jericho. Jericho's where Achan picked that up.
Right.
Then he went up to Ai, a little old bitty city, wasn't big as nothing. And they said, we just need a few men, and they got their butt whooped.
Yeah,
and Joshua got down and rent his clothes and said, Lord, Israel's been beaten down by his enemies. And God told Joshua, get up. He said, there's sin in the camp.
Yeah.
And come to find out, Achan had hid that stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
He'd done a good job, but he didn't do a good enough job to hide it from God.
No.
The lot fell upon him, and he went and got the stuff out of the ground, and they stoned him, his wife, his children, his cows, all that he had, they stoned it. And, heaven shall reveal his iniquity.
Yeah, that's right.
And the earth shall rise up against him. Achan should have left that stuff where it was.
Oh my.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it looks convenient.
Yeah.
Moses looked to the left and the right, smote that Egyptian, buried him in the sand, and next day,
yes, he did.
Saw two of his brothers fighting and said, you do wrong each other. And he said, are you going to smite me as you did that Egyptian yesterday? And he got scared, took all 40 years running in the desert.
That's right.
But,
hiding in a cave, wasn't
he? Yeah. I'm glad mine's under blood.
No, goodness.
Heaven shall reveal his iniquity, and the earth shall rise up against him. The increase of his house shall depart. You know, I believe it's in the book of Joel. Talks about yearn wages to put it in a bag with holes in it. No matter how much you make, you just can't hold it. Just like trying to carry water in a bucket with the bottom out of it.
Right.
The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath. This is the portion of a wicked man from God, and the heritage appointed unto him by God. Like I said, all of these accusations are true. All these statements are true. Uh-huh. They're just not true concerning Job.
Right.
And we'll stop right there at the end of chapter 20, and we'll pick up chapter 21, and Job, he'll be answering back. And one thing about Job, I'll tell you right now, he knew his God, and he might not have understood his situation, but he knew where it was going to end up. He said, "Though worms consume my body."
Yeah.
He said, yet in my flesh I'll see God. Job, he held on, even though he didn't have much to hold on to. And Father, we thank you for this lesson tonight. May we be doers, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Help us, Lord, to remember, Lord, that there will be a day that we'll stand in your presence. And I'm glad I'll have one standing with me. I'm glad I'll have one that says, "Father, this is mine," that will make a difference. I thank God for my Savior. He's mighty, not only in salvation, but He's also mighty in justification. He'll justify me, present me without one spot or one blemish in His presence with exceeding joy. Oh, bless, I pray, this lesson tonight to those that were listening. And we thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, wow. It's getting dark up there. We were looking outside, watching the clock, and